It's great to see everyone in the house of God this morning. I see you and I hear you. That's okay. But good morning to everyone. We welcome you today to Palm Sunday here at the Myerstown Church of the Brethren. We welcome everyone here today to worship in spirit and in truth. I'd like to make several announcements. The announcements are as follows. First of all, Good Friday services are going to be the theater at Stone Ridge at 2 o'clock. I just want to really encourage people this Friday, Good Friday, there's going to be a crosswalk at 12 o'clock p.m. It starts in front of the library at the seminary. I think it's a great thing. It's been a long time since they've done anything like this. They're meeting at the library in front of the seminary. They're going to walk to Stone Ridge. Seven or eight places are going to stop and pray and sing songs. 2 o'clock will be the service. So we encourage everyone to come to that particular service. You'll also find that new address of Ferris Estrelman. He's no longer at the home. He's living with his daughter, Lori. Love Feast and Communion, we hope that everyone has put this in their calendars and they're remembering that it's at 6:30 this evening. Also, as far as announcements, we'd like to extend sympathy to Nettie Crawl. Her sister-in-law passed away, Verda Fonestock. And I would like to introduce ahead of time who is with us today, special people that are here with us today. First, many years ago, this church... For summer pastor, Norm Yater was the summer pastor many years ago here at the church. He was here, I think, two summers. His daughters are going to be singing today. We're really looking forward to that. And Heather is here with us, and she said she's not singing, but she's going to be singing her heart. So it's good to have Heather here as well. So it's good to have them with us this morning. Speaking of student pastors, in 1991, we had a student minister named Eric Brubaker. How many of you remember Eric? Raise your hand. Okay, most of you do in the back. His father, Paul Brubaker, is with us today. He's a minister emeritus at the Middle Creek Church of the Brethren. We're looking forward to having Paul give the message today. So we're looking forward to a great, great service. We have one announcement to have. Ashley, I believe, is going to be making that announcement. And then we're going to have the opening hymn, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna, from page 238 in the blue hymnal.
Oh, there you are.
Hi, good morning. We just want to remind all the kids, invite everyone out for the Easter egg hunt on Saturday morning. It'll be Saturday the 4th, this coming Saturday at 10 o'clock. We'll start with the Easter egg hunt, and then we'll have a little craft for the kids and pizza for lunch. So it's always a really fun time, so we hope to see you all there. Thank you. Oh, also, the youth are going to be selling flowers at the Easter egg hunt, and also the evening before, 6 to 8, Friday evening here in the gym, and then Saturday morning at the Easter egg hunt, they're going to be selling flowers to support the youth group, too. So that's also a great thing going on then. Thank you.
May we stand and sing. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here today to uplift your name, to worship you. What a great day we think of today. We come in here and just praise your name and worship. We think of this evening, the love feast, where we can humble ourselves and say, Lord, you are Lord. And we get rid of our pride. And we simply say, Lord, you are our master. You are Lord of all. You are King of glory. You are worthy to be praised. So we rejoice. Rejoice, and we can put aside ourselves. And we pray this morning, we have put aside ourselves, that we're not focused on who we are, but we're focused on who you are, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, may we just be in that spirit of worship. Lord, worship is good. Worship is good. We pray, we feel, and sense your spirit today, where we have the desire to draw closer to you. We pray this in thy name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we're looking forward to the girls.
This solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
Thank you. prefatory thought, I was thinking about Palm Sunday. I was thinking about that Palm Sunday when Jesus was entering the city and people were waving the branches. It was a form of worship. What would have I thought? What would have you thought? Were you been waving those branches as well? And if so, what were you looking for? Were you looking for the King of Glory or an earthly king? We pray today that we, as we give unto the Lord, that we give our worship to the King of Glory, the God of the universe, the God that loves us, the God that gives us hope and the promise of eternal life. We ask the ushers to come forward. We have a word of prayer and then the offertory hymn, Break Thou the Bread of Life. Lord Jesus, may we give on to you in a sense of love and power, that we give on to you the King of Glory, the one we worship, the one that sustains us, the one that we adore, the one that we count on, the one that we put our hope in. So when we give, may we give in a spirit of worship and in a spirit of love and a spirit of power. We pray this in thy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Page 360. 360. In singing Blessed Redeemer and stand.
Redeemer, seek now I see him on Calvary.
Let us pray. Blessed Redeemer, Lord, you're the one that forgives. You're the one that shed your blood at Calvary. You truly are a blessed Redeemer. May we just walk with that, believe that, and trust that. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. The scripture I'd like to share, it was asked to be read, is John 12, 12 to 16. John 12, 12 to 16, followed by John 19, 12 to 16. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples didn't understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified, they realized that these things had been written about him, that these things had been done to him. And from John 19, 12 to 16. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. At this time, wait for Paul.
Good morning. I bring you Christian greetings from the brothers and sisters at the Middle Creek congregation in Lancaster County. I've had a long relationship with this congregation. Early on, I had three revival meetings here. Now, you older folks may remember them, you may not remember them. But I was here in 1977, I was here in 1985, and also in 1988. For revival meetings. And then you asked me a year later, in the fall of 1989, to come back and to conduct your love feast that fall. And then, as Brother Dean said, our son Eric was a summer pastor here when he was a student at the seminary, either 1990 or 1991. But it's a whole generation later. And I'm back. And it's good to see each of you. Some of you older folks I know. Many of you I don't know. But it's good to be here. In some churches, this is known as Palm Sunday, while in other churches, this is known as Passion Sunday. Now, for those churches who call this Palm Sunday, there is the focus, of course, on Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem with shouts of Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For those who refer to this as Passion Sunday, naturally there is the focus on Christ's suffering and death. In light of the fact that you'll be observing your love feast and communion this evening, and I intend to be here to conduct that, I'd like to center my thoughts this morning around the suffering and passion of Christ. Never forget, folks, that while it's easy to get caught up in the hosannas, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord on Palm Sunday, remember always that Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem that day was really part of his journey to the cross. The gospel writer Luke records this for us. This occurred sometime before the actual triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But Luke records this in Luke 9:51. As the time approached for him to be taken up into heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Now, if you're reading that from the Living Bible, it paraphrases it this way. As the time drew near for his return to heaven, he moved steadily onward toward Jerusalem, get this, with an iron will. In other words, Jesus had come from heaven to earth to carry out the mission of the Father, a mission that was designed, that was planned for before the foundation of the world. Jesus had come to die. And while he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane that this cup would be passed from him, he nevertheless approached his mission with resolve, with an iron will. The crowds that Palm Sunday morning were seeing this as a moment of opportunity, a glorious era for themselves, with Jesus as their king. That's why they shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna! Do you know what Hosanna means? It was a word that was deeply rooted in Jewish culture. Hosanna means save now! Save now! You see, the crowds that day were gripped with the thought that Jesus was about to restore the kingdom of David. They were thinking of a political restoration, you see. And for that reason, they shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Which, by the way, is a direct quote from Psalm 118, verse 26. But while the crowds that day were jubilant, we know also that just several days later, many of those people, those same people who were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, those same people, many of them, were then shouting, Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Part of that change in attitude, of course, was the fact that the crowds couldn't accept the fact that the kingdom of God was not to be the kingdom of this world. Remember what Jesus had prayed in the garden? He said, My kingdom is not of this world. Well, switching gears just a bit, I'd like for you to think just a moment about how a donkey fit into that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. You heard Brother Dean read from John 12, where verse 14 says this, Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. So you see, it was a deliberate choice on the part of Jesus to ride on a donkey. He found a young donkey. I don't know a lot about donkeys, but from my reading, I've gathered several things. First of all, a donkey was a highly respected animal in Jewish culture. They relied on donkeys both for transportation and for labor. I learned also that donkeys are gentle and docile creatures. Among the Jews, therefore, the donkey was a symbol of peace. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is known as the Prince of Peace, isn't he? You see, Jesus was telling the crowds that day, as he rode on a donkey, what kind of king he wanted to be known as. He wanted to be identified as the Prince of Peace. There is an additional symbolism in the donkey as it appears in Jewish culture. The donkey was a beast of burden. And so on that Palm Sunday morning, the donkey carried on his back the weight of our Lord. And Jesus carried the weight of our sins to the cross. It's just several days later. Now, to me, there's something deeply engaging about the donkey and Jesus on their fateful journey together on that Palm Sunday morning. Maybe it was the willingness of Jesus, the willingness of the donkey to carry the weight of our Lord. And maybe it was the willingness of Jesus to carry the weight of our sins to the cross. Let's take some time then to think this morning about Christ's suffering and death. Any of you who saw Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ a number of years ago probably gained new appreciation, as I did, for the prophetic words of Isaiah. These words from Isaiah 53 are so familiar. I memorized them years ago from the King James Version of the Bible. And I'm going to quote them now from King James, and I encourage you to listen to them as if you were listening to them for the very first time. He is despised. You can hear the hissing in that, can't you? He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, meaning Christ. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, meaning Jesus, the iniquity of us all. In theological terms, that is simply called substitutionary atonement. Those are big words. Let me explain them to you. It simply means that in dying on the cross, Jesus took my sins. He took your sins. He took the sins of the entire world and laid them upon himself. That's what the Apostle Peter was writing about in his epistle. This is recorded for us in 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. We're talking about substitutionary atonement. This morning, I'd like you to picture in your mind's eye that crucifixion scene there on Mount Calvary 2,000 years ago. Can you imagine Christ's whole body in spasms and just writhing in pain? Can you feel the throbbing in his head and throughout his entire system from the loss of sleep and the loss of blood? Remember, Jesus had not slept the night before. He was on trial. Can you be brave enough this morning to steal a glance at his head with oozing blood matting his hair beneath that repulsive crown of thorns? Can you be brave enough to steal a glance at his face, all bruised and swollen and caked with blood? Do you recognize the face of this man as he hangs on that crude, humiliating cross? Can you see his beard plucked out by the very roots? Can you experience the unbearable pain of having every bone in your body out of joint? Can you imagine the torture of having bugs and other insects crawling all over your body and buzzing around your head, but being absolutely helpless to do anything about it. Can you tolerate this morning to look at Christ's back, all cut and lacerated from the scourging? Can you endure to look at the gaping holes in his hands, with blood running down his arms to his elbows, and then dripping, dripping, dripping to the ground beneath? Can you see the frothy pool of blood at the foot of the cross? Can you experience the feeling of having your tongue so parched that it clings to the very roof of your mouth? Is it any wonder that Jesus cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" All through his ministry, Jesus had known what it meant to be forsaken. He was forsaken by his biological family. He was forsaken by his hometown folks. He was forsaken by the nation he had come to save. John 1:11 says that he came to his own, and his own received him not. Jesus knew what it meant to be forsaken. But in every such instance, he could always steal away to the tender, healing fellowship of his heavenly Father. But there on the cross, even the Father turned his back on his Son for that period of time. The pain, the suffering, the burning anguish is just more than you and I are able to comprehend. You see, folks, I become a little disturbed when I see artists who portray that crucifixion scene with a little bit of blood coming out of Jesus' hands and his feet and his side, with a crown of thorns placed neatly on his head and his face intact. Why do I become disturbed? Because of what the prophet Isaiah wrote some 700 years before the actual death of Christ. This is recorded for us in Isaiah 52, verse 14. Isaiah writes this: "His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness." Now, the literal rendering of Isaiah's prophecy, and let me just back up and say, if you're reading that particular verse from the King James Version of the Bible, it says this: "His visage," that would be his face, "his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form," that would be his body, "more than the sons of men." Now, the literal rendering of Isaiah's prophecy is that Christ's face and body were so marred and so mutilated that he didn't even look human. You wouldn't have recognized him as a man. And then to think that Christ suffered all of that to pay the price for my redemption, to pay the price for your redemption, to pay the price for the redemption of the whole world. He endured all of that, folks, because he loved us. He loved us. And so, out of deep love and deep gratitude, you and I need to offer our lives back to God because of what he did for us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Way back in the 1700s, the English theologian and hymn writer Isaac Watts wrote these now immortal lines: "See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flowed mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown?" The last stanza of that now immortal hymn says, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering, a present, far too small. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. As you and I prepare to engage in the love feast and communion experience this evening, may we remember. Remember that Jesus said, these things we do in remembrance of Him. As you and I engage in self-examination on this Palm Sunday morning, let's remember the willingness of the donkey to carry the weight of our Lord. But let's also remember the willingness of Jesus to carry the weight of our sins to the cross. Let's pray. Lord, in the quietness and the stillness of these moments, I pray that you may do a work in each of our hearts. We thank you, O Jesus, for your willingness to take our sins and lay them upon yourself on that old rugged cross. And Lord, as we engage in self-examination in preparation for this evening, may we remember with gratitude the tremendous price that was paid. In the intervening hours, Lord, help us to focus our thoughts, our attention on you and on you alone. Through Jesus Christ we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 236. Will you bow with me for the benediction? Lord, let us now depart in peace, who in thy name are gathered here. Disclose the brightness of thy face and be forever near. Amen.